Blog Talk Radio.
Mario, we don't need that, son. Shalom, shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. First day of Sukkot, another double Sabbath, back-to-back double Sabbath. Hallelujah, Toda Abayah for blessing us with your mercies, with your mercies. Hallelujah. Let me open up with a prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Toda, once again, Abba Yah, for bringing us to your Shabbat. The Shabbat doors open. The weekly Shabbat and first day of Sukkot, Father, would you command us, children of Yisrael, to sleep in booths for 7 days. We thank you, Abba, for knowing what's best for us and giving us your guidance and always, always taking us the way we need to be taken, Father, even if it's ways we don't need to go or want to go, Father. You know which way we should go, Father, so to shed off this world that we have on us, Father. So we thank you for that, Father. I ask and pray for all those who are here, Father, that you watch over them, Father. Keep them safe, Father, as you have said in your word, who will leave their homes, that you will watch it, Father, that your Malachim be on post at the homes, Father, so all can just leave back the world, Father, and bask in your glory for 7 days, Father. I ask for those who couldn't make it out, Father, that you still bestow upon them your Shabbat blessings, Father, and your blessings for the week of Sukkot, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who have sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat. As a heritage, remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh. Sanctified by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome, family, once again. I'm your brother, Ariel, here at Kol Elohim, Hebrew Culture, family. Hebrew Culture with another segment within our week, within these 6 weeks. Why prophecy? We in five, family. We in prophecy, and the segment is five. So we just going to do a little recap on where we started at. We started in the beginning in the introduction. Why did Yahweh give us prophecies? Because he loves us. That's why. Because he loves us. And on top of that, can be warned. So we won't be in the dark when these things come upon us, because he is the one. He said in his word that he shows us the end from the beginning. So every single thing mankind can go through, he has shown us in his word, and he has given us a roadmap so we can get through it. Also, we come to find out that there was a war in heaven, and with the war in heaven, that Hasatan and his minions was put out because he wanted to raise his throne over top of Yahushua's throne, over top of Yahweh's throne. Come to find out that he has killed children within this realm, within the physical realm, that obey him. And Yahweh has children in his physical realm that will war one to another throughout their generations. We found out that Yahweh said that he would war against Amalek, this king, throughout the generations of Israel and throughout mankind's generations. And we come to find out that Abimelech points to Hasatan. And I would come to find out that the promised seed that was promised to Abraham, that he took Hagar before he took Sarah and mingled the seed. He mingled the righteous seed, the daughter of Pharaoh, Hagar, which Pharaoh pointed to Hasatan, Satan. So he mingled that righteous seed with the wicked seed, with the wickedness, put that righteous seed in wickedness. Come to find out last week that he had five sons by Keturah, you know. And so where we at now in these days and times, everybody claims Father Abraham. Everybody feels though they have a right to Father Abraham. So we're just going to go through some practicalities today and just sit and talk. Sit and talk. Got some scriptures. We still going through Bereshit. In fact, we've been in Bereshit quite a while now, in Genesis, quite a while, just to finish this out and finish this thought that Abba has given us about the seed. about the mingled seed where we've been for the last 3 weeks about this mingled seed. And we probably could go on for another 4 or 5 weeks with this mingled seed because it's so much. It's so much. He said in his word that the wicked going outnumber the righteous. Outnumber the righteous. You know, we get little hints like one will chase 1,000, two, 10,000, how vast and how grand the wicked is in this world, how many we are outnumbered. But Abba will have it so. He will have it so. He will not have Israel fighting in their own power. He will not have mankind fighting in his own power. Because we come to find out that there was a challenge put forth to Abba. So he wanted to take the lowest of the lowest and let that entity know that ain't nothing you can do with me. Nothing. I'm going to take something that's lower than you and overthrow you. Scripture says that man is made a little lower than the angels. If we didn't know, if you didn't know who I was talking about, Satan, Halal, Hasatan, he is the one that put the challenge forth towards Abba, that he wants to be just like him, that he is worthy enough to be like him. And Abba gladly accepted the challenge. Of course, I take that. But you got to get out of my house. He put him out. But he still accepted the challenge. And he still uses them. We come to find out that Satan is still his servant, still does the will of the Father, still does the will of the Father. He is not no rogue angel running around in this world system just doing anything he wants to any old body. We realize and understand with the story of Job that he can't do just anything he wants to any old body. He has to get permission. He has to get permission, and that shows us here in this physical world that he still obeys the Father. He still obeys the Father. He still knows where he belongs. He still knows. But Abba said he's going to use that because we come to find out in the story that Abba said he is the one that created the good and the evil. And we went through stories to prove that he created the good and the evil. You know, that's why we come to learn that Abraham mixed the seed. He put the seed in Hagar first, Pharaoh's daughter. That's why we come to learn that there was Isaac's seed inside of Rebekah. And the scripture tells us that these two seeds are two nations that will be warned against each other. And one points to the wicked and one points to the righteous. But I'm going to home that in for us next week and show where it really points at. It points to the wicked and to the righteous, but there's something else we can see about that one seed warned against each other, that split in two, that one seed that went in Rebekah and it split in two. We can learn just a little bit more. We can home it and bring it in and make it personal. Make it personal. I was sitting there meditating today, and he showed me where we are going at with this. And as always, with the word of Yahweh, is personal. It should be personal. And that's tonight's lesson, the intimacy. You know, why prophecy? The intimacy. Who Yahweh allows or brings close to him. Why and what does he see in others that he do not allow them to come close? But there's some that he see in, and he allowed them to come close. He brings them close. He guides them. He's always that guiding hand in them. And what a beautiful night out here, looking up at the stars, out here on first day of Sukkot. What a beautiful and best night we have. It's crisp out here. It's a little chilly, I'm going to say that. And it's going to get a little chillier as we go, but hallelujah. Hallelujah, we here. Pray all one day all Israel get together and we'll be able to celebrate Abba's holy days, his set apart days together as one. We know when Yahushua come back in the kingdom, this is one of the feasts that he says, I believe it's in the book of Nehemiah, that if those don't come up to keep Sukkot, there will be no rain. You know, so why not start yourself? Why not start keeping this feast now? Training yourself, molding yourself to keep this feast now. Why be made to keep this feast? Because we know that's one of the prophecies. When the kingdom is being set up, that he is going to make people keep this feast. He's going to make them keep it. Everybody in the whole world keeps this feast. And if you're not, you'll be hungry, starving. No rain means you'll be starving. I'm coming back, we know, with that big hand, as we like to say. It's coming back on straight. So why, he says, answer, why is yet day, let us serve him with heart and the willing of heart. But it's a beautiful day out here. Let's go to our opening scripture. In fact, we back in Romans 15:4 again. We was in Yahoo last week, but the Ruach say go back to Romans 15:4, and let's start with that. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through perseverance and through encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. And I'm reading out of the WEBA translations tonight, family. I just like this much better. It for me is a much better and easier read than the King James with the these and the thous and all the old English that they put into that. I like this one because it's just a better read for me. It's a better read and it's easier on the ears. A lot of people may not understand those these and thous and a lot of that old English. And this one, for me, it brings it up to date just a little bit. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through perseverance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go back into the story of Ishmael and the five sons. And let's see in this story of Ishmael and the five sons what we can learn. What is Abba teaching us about? And so we're going into Bereshit, and we're going to start at Bereshit 1, going down to 13. We're just reading and getting a thought, family. Just reading and getting a thought. You know? Sarah, Abraham's wife, bore him no children. She had a servant, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And if you have been following along, you know we've been through these scriptures. We know that Abba brought out a thought, you know, about these scriptures. But now we're about to take it to another thought that he has given us with the same scriptures. So Sarah said to Abba, "See, now Yahweh has restrained me from bearing. Please go into my servant. It may be that I will obtain children by her." Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to Abram, her husband, to be his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarah said to Abram, "This wrong is your fault. I gave my servant into your bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, she despised me. May Yahweh judge between me and you." But Abram said to Sarah, "Behold, your maid is in your hand. Do to her whatever is good in your eyes." Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her face. Yahweh's angel found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarah's servant, where did you come from, and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the face of my mistress, Sarah." Yahweh's angel said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Yahweh's angel said to to her, I will greatly multiply you. They will not be counted for multitude. And if we've been ever paying attention to the story of Israel, this is one of the things that have been said about. He said the same thing to Abraham about him. He said the same thing to Isaac. He had said the same thing to Jacob, to Israel. The question is, why? Why tell the handmaid server where the seed was mingled? Okay, Torah Aki, brother Shabbat Elsa, that was in Zechariah. I believe Zechariah Zephaniah, one of them. He said that scripture. It wasn't in Nehemiah, Torah Aki. But why? The question is, why? Why give the same blessing that you are giving to the righteous seed, you're giving to the wicked seed? The exact same blessing, the same thing he said to her, that I will greatly multiply your offspring, that they will not be counted for multitude. That means Yishmael, Hagar's and Yishmael's seed going to be multiplied. They're going to be greatly within the earth, moving at the same time, and we're moving towards that way with the 12 tribes of Israel. But let's finish this thought right here. That's just a thought to give. Why are you giving them the same blessing, Father, that you gave Israel? Yahweh's angel said to her, behold, you are with child and will bear a son. Call his name Yishmael, because Yahweh has heard your affliction. He will be like a wild donkey among men. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He will live opposed to all his brothers. So she called the name of Yahweh, who spoke to her, you are a Elohim who sees. For she said, have I even stayed alive after seeing him? And think about that. Think about this Egyptian understanding who Yahweh is, had a conversation and come to understand who is Yahweh. This is Egyptian now. This is Pharaoh's daughter that has a firsthand account with the Melekim of Yahweh and understand that this is a mighty one, truly his. And know for a fact at this time in history that they knew and they prayed to different mighty ones. Egypt had a plethora of gods down there. But she said in herself that this is a mighty one that hears. The question is, why? Why, Father? Why do you care about this Egyptian woman with this child? And why is it you going to bless this child the same way you're going to bless Israel? Because we've been on that line, the righteous seed and the good seed. And what did Yahweh say? I create the good and the evil. Keep those thoughts. Let's move on to Bereshit 17. We're just going to keep moving on in Bereshit 17, and we're going to read 15 to 20. Verses 15 to 20. Elohim said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but you shall call her name. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. Yes, I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. There's a difference in the blessing that he gave to Hagar that he's given to Sarah. He said that your hand, your son, your seed, going to be a hand against mankind. They're going to be at war. They will not get along with their brothers. The blessing that he's given Sarah said that she's going to be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. This is a righteous line right here that he is talking about. Just pointing out the two differences of the blessing. 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Same thing Sarah did, right? You remember? Sarah was in the tent. She laughed within herself. Will a child be born to him who is 100 years old? Will Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth? And I can hear Sarah saying, look, I was saying that earlier when they first said it. That is, I laughed. They pulled me out on mine that I laughed. Abraham is coming and saying the same thing, same suit that Sarah did. I'm 100 years old, 99. I'm going to have a child, and Sarah going to have a child. So inside, it's not like one of those mockery laughs. It's like, I wish. Abraham said to Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Listen. This is the father right here. This is Abraham, father of righteousness, father of faith, praying for Ishmael. Let him be this one. Let him be this one. Forgetting about the seed that's supposed to come out of Sarah. Abraham said to Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Elohim said, no. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. You shall call his name Yitzchak. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He will become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Hold up, Father. Ishmael, how's he becoming the 12 before Jacob ain't even thought about right now? Jacob ain't even in the picture. But we know from history that Jacob going to have 12 sons. So this, it was the 12, again, established before the 12 tribes of Israel. One of Abraham's sons, Ishmael, in fact, his very first son, had 12 sons. 12 princes, what the scripture going to read. We're going to read in the future. But these things are food for thought. Again, we're still on that line. I create the good and the evil. Ishmael had 12 tribes before there was the 12 tribes of Israel. Before there was the 12 tribes of Israel. Do we see a parallel here that's going on in the scriptures? Because that's what we're showing. Parallel. Let's move to Bereshit 21. We're going from 9 to 21. Genesis 21:9. Chapter 21, verses 9 to 21. Matter of fact, I'm going to start at 8. The children grew and was weaned. Abraham made a great feast. Matter of fact, let's read and get the full thought of that. Yahweh visited Sarah as he, so I'm going to start at 1, all the way down to 21, family. Yahweh visited Sarah as he had said. And Yahweh did to Sarah as he had spoken. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the same set time of which Elohim had spoken to him. Abraham called his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as Elohim commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, Elohim has made me laugh. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Amen. She said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And just hear the joy in Sarah's voice. The joy that nobody would ever thought of ever that I would give a son to Abraham. We was well past the years of making a baby. We was well past the years of milk coming out of these. We was well past the year of having pleasure. Nobody would look at us in our old age that I would have a baby. Abraham would have a son from me, his beloved wife. Did you just hear the joy? And when people hear about this miracle, because it's a miracle that Abba performed to show his greatness, they're going to rejoice with her. Eight. The children grew and was weaned. I mean, excuse me. My eyes be crossed out. This is a Moses school. Excuse me. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on that day that Isaac was weaned. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. Why was that put there? Why did Abba make that known, the Egyptian? Why he just didn't say Abraham's son or Hagar's son? Why he had to make that known, the Egyptian? Supposed to be what your father is. Think about that. Think about it. It's just thoughts that Abba is giving. Take these thoughts in and follow the whole series that he gave us. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, mocking. Therefore, she said, Abraham, cast out this servant and her son, for the son of the servant will not be heir with my son Isaac. Who is Sarah pointing to right now? Listen to her words. Who is she pointing to? He will not be heir with my son. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight on account of his son. Yahweh said to Abraham, don't let it be grievous in your sight because of the boy and because of your servant. And all that Sarah said to you, listen to her voice, for your offspring will be named through Isaac. I will also make a nation of the son of the servant, because he is your child. Amen. Listen to Abraham. Listen to Abraham. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a container of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and gave her to the child and sent her and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The water in the container was spent, and she put the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat down opposite of him, a good way off, about a bow shot away. For she said, don't let me see the death of the child. She sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Elohim heard the voice of the boy. Hold up. He didn't hear her voice crying. He heard the voice of the boy. Elohim heard the voice of the boy. The angel of Elohim called to Hagar out of the sky and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for Elohim has heard the voice of the boy. Where is he? Just listen to the story, family. Yahweh, Malachim is calling out of the sky to her. We can go through the scriptures from Bereshit to all the way to Hazan, the Apocrypha. Ain't too many people can say that they heard, besides the whole nation, that he called personally out of the sky to them. Wow. What are we learning, Abraham and his kids? Wow. And he didn't say nothing to her. He didn't call because she was crying. He said, I heard the voice of the boy. Wow. Because he said he already said, I'm going to bless him. So in some way, we come to understand that this boy is going to be used for great work in Abba's plan. In Abba's plan, this boy is going to be used. And remember the story, remember the storyline that Abba gave us. Get up, lift up the boy, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Just hear the voice, hear. Get up, lift up the boy and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Elohim opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went, filled the container with water, and gave the boy a drink. Open this lady eye. This is Pharaoh's daughter. What? You're going through a lot of trouble for her, Abba. Why? Why are you going all these troubles for her? And her son. Elohim opened up her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went, filled the container with water, and gave the boy a drink. Elohim was with the boy, and he grew. What? He's watching over the child. And in this world, happened without Yahweh's planning. He is the great master, of planning things out. Because remember how the story been going? There was a challenge put forth to him. Elohim was with the boy, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness and became, as he grew up, an archer. He lived in the wilderness of Paran. His mother got a wife for him out of the land of Mitzrayim. He took him back to his roots. Hold up. Why you stay around and try to get one of those wives out of Abraham's camp? She took him back to his roots. Food for thought, family. What we have in the story? 25. Let's move on over to 25. Go to 25. Because we know with Abraham's first son, but wasn't chosen, that he was blessed. He was told that his seed will be grand in this world, will multiply, and will nobody would be able to count him. He was blessed. Now we're going 25. We're going to go through 1 through 6. Then we're going to jump down to 25, 12 through 18. I don't know. We might read this whole chapter. I don't know, just to keep the thought fresh. Another took another wife, and her name, Abraham took another wife, and her name was Keturah. She bore him Zeram, Medan, Midian, Isbak, and Shua, and Dishan became the father of Sheba, and Dedan, the sons of Dedan, which was Asherim, Letushim, and Leumim. I'm going to tell that one up, family. 24. The sons of Midian was Ephah, Hanok, Abidah, and Eldadah. All these were the children of Keturah. Let's move down. All right. Abraham died within the story. This is when, and we're going to pick back up right here at 8, and we're going to read out. If you want, you can go back and read those. Matter of fact, it's only 2 scriptures. Let me just read the 2 scriptures, family. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Abraham gave gifts to the sons of Abraham's concubines while he still lived. He sent them away from Isaac, his son, eastward to the east country. We're going to come back and we're going to revisit 6. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. Abraham gave up his spirit and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah. I'm going to tell that one up. In the field of Ekron, the sons of Zohar, the Hittite, which is near Mamre. The field which Abraham purchased of the children of Heth, Abraham was buried there with Sarah, his wife. After the death of Abraham, Elohim blessed Isaac. Isaac lived by Beer Lahia Roy. Now, this is the history of the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian servant, bore to Abraham. Again, we didn't always been through Ishmael. Now, why do you want to give us history on him, Father? Why was it necessary for us to know that you gave Keturah's son, Abraham gave Keturah's son, his children, gifts? Why was it necessary for us to know that? These are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their order of their birth. The firstborn of Ishmael is Nebohua, then Kedar, Mishma, Duma, Matha, Hadad, Timma, Jito, Nashis, Kadima. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their villages and by their encampments. 12 princes according to their nation. So Abba fulfilled his word with Hagar, right? These are the years of the life of Ishmael. 137 years he gave up the spirit and died and was gathered to his people. They lived from Halava to Shur, that is before Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. He lived opposite of all his relatives. He lived opposite of all his relatives. And this is Ishmael that he's talking about. But let's go back up to 6 before we go further into that. We're not going to read the rest of that. We're going to stop right there, but we're going to go back up to 6, and we're just going to get practical. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of Abraham, concubines, when he still lived. He sent them away from Isaac, his son, eastward to the east country. Now, came into the faith. One of the things that brought me into the faith was, why in the world did it seem like everybody hate black people? What in the world did we do for the world to be so against us? That was one of the things that brought me out. That was how Abba got my attention. He got your attention with the way he got your attention. But how he got mine, I asked that question. What in the world did we do as a people to seem like everybody can't stand us? I mean, we ain't got nothing. We in the ghetto. We might got a little spirit, a little swag in my mind, but other than that, we on the bottom. Where we are today. But it seemed like when I went down university, you know, you work at university, you meet a multitude of people. It's all nations, ethnic groups that work down there. So I'm a 17-year-old, 16-year-old child started working down university and wondering why these people really getting a chance to see the world, starting to see the world and understand people's attitudes towards the black people. And then I say all that to put that right here. Because we know that Abraham blessed Ishmael. We know that he blessed all the sons of Keturah and the concubines, as the word says. But the question is, as a child, how would you feel about that? And this is the thing that Abba brought to my mind. How would you feel about that? If your father, you know that's your father. You was first child. Got rid of you and kept that one child. And then you see that you had brothers and sisters, brothers, at least brothers. We don't know about the sisters. And he got rid of all them too and kept this one child. We're just being practical. If you got children, you can't buy one child, nothing without buying the other child. Here today, my daughter, 26 years, 25 years old, and let me do something for Sean and Mackenzie and don't do nothing for her and watch her lips be poked out, be upset, visibly upset because I did something for them. And she grown and didn't do nothing for them. This is practical right here. How would you feel? Then we go up and get into the book of Psalms in 83. We go through and look at all the nations that have in this council. Majority of them family. They family to Yisrael. They family to Yisrael. Then on top of that, we can't even use your last name. We can't even be known as Hebrews. You don't even want us to be known as Hebrews. How would you feel if your father didn't even want to give you what he's called by? And I know technically, that they all are Hebrews. Every one of Keturah's sons, every one of even Ishmael and everything that came out of Ishmael's loins, everything that came out of Esau's loins, everything that came out of Keturah and all her sons' loins, all of them technically are Hebrews. But the father don't even recognize them as Hebrews. I don't care what man says. I don't care what man can say they're Hebrews. Yes, man can say that all day long. But the father does not recognize them as Hebrews. There's no place in the word that you will go and find the word Hebrew or Hebrew, which in English it is, but it's actually Hebrew. And you will not find that associated only with Israel. You will not find it associated with nobody else besides Abraham. Abraham, that's it. After Abraham, only Israel was associated with being Hebrews. That's it. Wow. Why, Father, why they can't even have your last name? Why you didn't even allow them to be called Hebrews in your word? Why the nations they looked at will call them Hebrews? Why can't they be that? But you went through a troubled Hagar, this woman of Egyptian upbringing, Egyptian background. You called her from the heavens. You blessed her son and everything because Abraham was blessed. So was the sons of Keturah was blessed. But they missing something. They got gifts. What's the gifts? What's the blessings? The knowledge of Yah. Because we quite sure Abraham taught them who Yahweh was. We know he taught them the ways of Yahweh and who he was. But he did not tell them one thing. He did not bless them with one thing. And we see the world in the same predicament today. Israelites in the same predicament today. They know knowledge. They have knowledge of the Father. But they're missing something. They're missing something to have to come through that one line. He said, in Isaac I shall make my covenant. He make his covenant with nobody else. Nobody else. And with that line right there. We know the story of Jacob and Esau. And how he called him the supplanter because he held on to his foot as he was coming out of the womb. Bible was telling us with that he is going to supplant him. We know, and we can read through the scriptures, and I believe it's chapter 27 in Bereshit, that Esau actually gave up his birthright. So the father was not supposed to bless him anyway because he gave his birthright up way before the blessing came. He gave it up. And the birthright, the firstborn birthright, is to get the first blessing from the father. He gave that up. Who was that supposed to point to that gave up their birthright? Who was that supposed to point to that gave up their birthright? Esau. He wowed. He cried hard, the scripture says, when he found out that Jacob got his blessing. And he said that you got to serve Jacob. I gave the blessing to you. I can't take it back. You got to serve your brother. The man cried. The man was a warrior, but he cried like a baby. He was a warrior, but he sold his birthright. Same thing who he points to, the wicked seed. sold his birthright when he wanted to upthrow or put his, raise his throne the same size up in the heavens where the Father was. He wanted to raise his throne up there. Gave up his birthright. So the Father was not supposed to bless Esau. He was supposed to bless Abraham, Yaakov. But he gave his blessing up. He sold it, matter of fact. He sold it. But to end of my portion today, family, my blog talk, that's the end of that today. And it just was practical. Just was practical to end. But Abba going to fine-tune it for us next week. He's going to bring it down, fine-tune it. And even within the nation of Israel, that we this animosity of a chosen one. Even within the nation, within the 12 sons, there was animosity of a chosen one. Because Joseph was their chosen one. Joseph was their chosen one. And his brothers could not stand him for that. He was the favorite of the father. Same story going over and over. I was just showing us in different ways. He was the chosen. What would happen to him? He was sold into slavery. His own brothers betrayed him to slavery. And this is the righteous nation right here, Israel. We talking about Ishmael and his 12 tribes. We talking about the righteous line. Wickedness came within them. Jealousy of a chosen one. But we know, I understand that was Yahweh's plan. That was all a part of his plan. He used the nature of man. Because it's not like that Abba want them to hate his brother. He just understood the nature of man. He understood the nature of Pharaoh. That's what it is. He understand our nature. He don't have to go and make us do things. He know our nature. He know how we think. We're going to go against him. We're going to go. Any chance we get, we're going to the left. We're going to the right. We know our nature. That's why he have to tell us things over and over again. The same story over and over. He said, all right, I just got to chop it up this way and feed it to you that way. Ah, you got it. Nope. Do it again. Chop it up again. Give it to him again. Ah, Lord, he done went off track again, Father. Oh, well, okay. Spank him. Get him back on track. That's man. That's us. For those who want to walk in these ways, law, statutes, and judgments. Toda Abba Yah for your mercies. Toda. But we will not be if it wasn't for your mercies. Toda. Well, family, that's the end of my blog talk. Let me end with the closing benediction and the closing prayer. I got to find it. Okay, it's right here. Oh, no, that's not it. Give me a second, family. I got to go through my scriptures, my texts. Find the benediction. Bless are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Bless are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Bless are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Bless are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Bless are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Bless are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Bless are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah once again for your Shabbat, for your holy day, Father. Thank you for your rest that you give us, Father. Thank you for making us and seeing that we need to separate from this world, Father, that you give us a feast in the middle just before the weather changes and getting cold, that you pull us out of our norm and you take us into the wilderness for seven days, Father. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom, Father. Father, I'm asking, pray for all those who are alien, maybe in spirit and in mind and body, that you heal, touch and heal them, Father, that you bring shalom in their life, Father. I pray for all the Marais, Father, that shalom be within their household, Father. Shalom be within their minds, Father. Wherever they go, whatever they put their hands to, Father, that you bless it, Father. For they carry the word of you, Father. They carry your word, Father, within them, Father. They are your not being, your prophets, Father. Father, ask and pray for all the elders, Father, that you continue to bless them with your wisdom, Father. All the emas, Father, with your wisdom, Father, with that parental guidance, Father, that they give us, Father. We thank you for that, Father. I pray for all the Akotis, all the Ox, Father, that they may be in shalom, Father, wherever they go and whatever they put their hand to, be a blessing, Father. And for those that bless them, Father, that you bless them, Father. And as your word say, those who curse them, that you curse them as well, Father. That you keep your head up around your children, Israel, Father, and keep a two-edged sword within their mouth, Father, and mercy within their heart. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Israel. Yeah, right now, I can't see nothing. I can't see nothing. I'm cold as a mouse. Huh? So my toes are cold. Everything. Wow. Got the house.